The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Time to get up with Antonio Brown. What actually happened that caused him to storm off, and will this be the end of his controversial career? Plus, with the playoffs around the corner, a new concern for the Cowboys, and the timing couldn't be worse for Dak and company. And will it be bye-bye Browns for old Baker Mayfield, the report that has the Cleveland quarterback fired up? What's new? As we say hello, it is a Football Friday here on Get Up. Good morning, I'm Elle Duncan, hanging in for Greeny, who's still out. But we've got a lot to get to this morning as we head into the final weekend of the regular season. Ryan Clark, Rob Ninkovich, Dan Graziano, all here, as well as Mike Tannenbaum. We'll get to them, but we've got to start, gentlemen, with all due respect, with the game of the night. Celtics, Knicks from the Garden. Oh, my goodness. Coming in, the Celtics had already blown three at least 19-point leads. Here, it looks like they're running away with it. Dennis Schroeder with the dagger, 25 points and cruising to a win, it appears. But here come the Knicks in the third. They've cut the lead to 11. Emmanuel quickly misses the shot, but Julius Randle is quickly there for the putback, plus the foul, and one. Knicks go on a 16-3 run. They end the third quarter on a high note. Now within six, it's Randle inside here. He's working, he puts it up, but watch this. See his reaction? He's telling the crowd, he's booing them. He thumbs down. Why? Because they booed him earlier. And afterwards, they said, what were you trying to say to the fans there, Julius? And he said, shut the F up. He pulls a Javi Baez. He's not happy. 2 minutes later, former Celtics great Evan Fournier. Who hurt you? 41 points? A career high. Celtics now. Jason Tatum spins in the lane, finishes. It's a two-point lead for the Seas. A minute 23. R.J. Barrett drives, throws it up to Mitchell Robinson. He's not done. The Knicks tie the game. Less than a minute left. It's Barrett coming up with the loose ball. Kicks it out to quickly. Floater off the glass. Knicks take a two-point lead. 8 seconds left. Celtics draw up a play. Get it to Jason Tatum because he can do that. And he does. Celtics tie up the game, but oh my God, Knicks with one last opportunity and 1.5 seconds left. R.J. Barrett, what you got?
Finds Barrett, get a shot up. This is for the win. Oh, it's good! Off the window! R.J. Barrett wins it for the Knicks!
Largest comeback win for the Knicks since 2004. Unbelievable game as they walk away with the improbable victory. But back to our biggest story in the NFL, Antonio Brown. It dominated the news cycle yesterday. He was released officially 4 days after abruptly leaving the field in the middle of the game. The image is indelible. Brown and his attorney claiming that the wide receiver told the Bucs he was too hurt to continue playing on an injured ankle, an accusation that Bruce Arians responded to yesterday. Listen in.
At no point in time during that game did he ever asked a trainer or a doctor about his ankle. He never went through, that's the normal protocol. You go through protocols during games. I was never notified of it. He was very upset at halftime about who was getting targeted. Got that calmed down. Players took care of that. It started again on the sideline. We called for the personnel group that he had played in the entire game. He refused to go in the game. That's when I looked back and saw him basically wave off the coach. I then went back, approached him about what was going on. I ain't playing. What's going on? I ain't getting the ball. That's when I said, you're done. Get the F out of here.
He accused you of making a throat slash.
I don't know. Is that a throat slash? That's all it was.
Just to be clear, you would not force a player to play.
You can't force a player to play. You can't force a player to play. I mean, they have that choice. It's their body.
It bears mentioning as well that Bruce Arians had an opportunity on Sunday postgame to explain what happened and took the opportunity not to, waiting 4 days to then give his side of the story. Graz, I'm going to start there with you. What more can you tell us on the release of Brown by the Bucks?
Yeah, look, it took a few days because they had to figure out what the transaction would be, right? They could have designated him
reserve left squad, which would have allowed them to hold on to his rights, and he couldn't sign anywhere else, and they wouldn't have had to pay him his final game check. Ultimately, they decided just to waive him, pay the final game check, assuming he clears waivers, and move on. My understanding, talking to people around that team, the Bucks weren't planning to say anything until Antonio Brown did. Well, he put out that long statement a couple nights ago, and then they felt like they had to respond and tell their side of the story. So what the GM told Adam Schefter yesterday was that Antonio Brown had asked last week to have $2 million worth of incentives on his contract changed to guarantees, and the team had said no. And then he's upset about not getting the ball in the game because that's how you get the incentives. And the team just sort of had enough of it. So they feel like it might have been just rooted in money and not having as much to do with the injury, et cetera. So that's their side. But look, I mean, I'm not one to sit here as a reporter and believe everything a team tells me at face value. But also, we've been through this with Antonio Brown before, and he's not the most credible source either. So just laying out what each side is saying, that's sort of the Buccaneers' end of it.
You're right, right? Because we've certainly devolved into a he said, right? Everybody's got their own side of the story, and it's really about parsing through who you think is most believable. But I say this, Ryan, as a former Steeler, when he was a Steeler, this was almost his exact same excuse back in 2019 after the 2018 season ended with him being deactivated in that final game. And he blamed an injury that Mike Tomlin didn't care about and said that they were controlling the narrative. When you think about this whole situation involving Antonio Brown, yeah, how do you feel?
Well, you know, it's obviously a pattern of behavior, and we develop our perceptions of people based on their actions. And Antonio Brown's action have shown that this is something he's done before. Like you said, he did it in Pittsburgh. Antonio Brown's actually going to speak today. I spoke to Bob Minnery on the Full Send podcast yesterday before he interviewed Antonio Brown. And he just asked me some questions about what I felt. And I said, you know, with all the things Antonio has dealt with, it never bled over into the field. And that's why I thought that this situation was sort of unique, because he never really quit on himself. He never really quit on him on his team in a time of need. And Antonio said during the interview, you know, I was trying to be there for my team when they needed me, which is what he thought was the playoffs. And he spoke about Tom Brady basically being the GM of that team and being the middleman between everything and not being able to trust whether it's Bruce Arians or Tom Brady, because these people are only his friends, or these people are only accepting him because he can play football. And I think that's right. But on the other side of that, playing football is a huge part of that. Actually being there for the team on the field at that time is the reason why people gave Antonio Brown chance after chance. And the real on-field implications of this are this. Chris Godwin is out. Antonio Brown was supposed to be the guy that could fill that void and allow this team to still be explosive offensively. They no longer have that. So whether it's because Bruce Arians told him to get the, you know what I'm saying, out of here, or whether it's because Antonio Brown left the field in the manner that he did, he will not be there in the playoffs. And that's a huge loss for this football team.
Grez, I see you chomping at the bit.
Yeah, I just want to push back a little bit on my friend RC here. Did he not skip out on the final game of his last Steelers season? Like, he was AWOL, right? And then when he was with the Raiders,
yeah.
That was a situation where he was not showing up for practices and stuff like that. So there is a little bit of a history here of him bailing on his team,
so,
right?
So my point. Well, my point about that is, yes, right? Like, when we deal with Antonio Brown and you look at the criticisms of him, he has not shown up for the games, right? When this Cleveland situation happened, he walked off of the practice field, or whatever happened on the practice field happened, and he was unavailable for the game against Cleveland. What I'm saying is this. Usually, getting Antonio Brown to the stadium is the problem. Who Antonio Brown is within stadiums as it pertains to the game of football is not the issue. And so what I'm saying is his competitiveness, right, his ability and willingness to compete on game days are reasons that teams continue to give him chance after chance, because he's one of the best in the world when he does it. This is the first time that I feel like he has walked away from his team, or we've seen anybody really walk away from their team other than Vontae Davis at halftime, the way that Antonio Brown did. And I think that's the larger issue now for Tampa Bay. That's something that you can't repair in the locker room. That's something that you can't go forward with as an organization.
I want to bring Nico in here, because what Ryan just said is sticking with me. This idea that he would intimate that it's somehow a character flaw that Tom Brady or Bruce Arians only like him because he's really good at football. Well, yeah, this isn't big brothers and big sisters. It's not a mentorship program. That's why Tom Brady continued to put his neck on the line to secure AB's services. How do you think this entire thing affects AB's already really complicated legacy, Nink?
It throws a wrench in it. And listen, I think that hearing versus seeing are two different optics. And when you hear stories and you hear the stuff that has happened in the past, a lot of people haven't really seen it and visualized those issues. Well, last week it was for everyone to see. It was out there. It was national television on every single social media platform. You saw AB taking all his stuff off, running off the field, doing jumping jacks, doing the peace sign to the whole stadium. So I think that that is really what is going to weigh on in people's minds way more than anything that they've heard or stories or things in the past. Now, this is going to last forever. I don't think that he'll ever be able to avoid this. And now, most recently, I think he is trying to do damage control and backtrack a bit, because when you think back on it, I'm sure he's like, dang, I shouldn't have done that. That was the worst possible thing he could have done for himself and his legacy, because we have never seen someone do what he did last week.
It certainly is an enduring image. Coming up on Get Up 2, we're not going to stop with AB. What does this mean for his Hall of Fame bid? And is there any way that he can turn that legacy around? Much more on that. We've got a developing story from Dallas, where two more Cowboy starters have been placed in COVID protocol. Star offensive lineman Tyron Smith, cornerback Anthony Brown are out. They join rookie star Micah Parsons, who tested positive on Wednesday. This all ahead of their Saturday night matchup with the Eagles. Here's Mike McCarthy on his COVID concerns.
Watching the trends of all this, particularly the latest trends, I am confident that if we do have anybody today, tomorrow, even Saturday night, that they'll be ready to go for the postseason game.
Okay, here's the thing. The Cowboys are really all but assured that four seed. They're not playing for much. They've got a bunch of COVID absences. I don't know, Grassman, do you think they should just rest their starters this week?
Well, I would, yeah. I mean, look, as someone who's not experienced making these decisions, if looking from the outside, it seems to make sense to rest them. Look, if Tyron Smith isn't playing, and I don't need to play Dak Prescott, I would not put him at risk, because, I mean, my best blindside protector is missing. So I would think they'd have to consider it. I don't believe that they are at this point, but, yeah, look at this list. These are key players. Parsons, obviously, on defense. Smith, obviously, on offense. And there could be more. Trevon Diggs missed practice yesterday with an illness. They said he hadn't tested positive, but certainly that could change today, because we know people that test negative, and then test positive. So we'll watch out for more potential absences there.
This is not exactly like the Packers, RC, where they're just like streaking into the playoffs on a high note. Four of their last five games, the offense has been held to 22 points or fewer. Would you rest them knowing that they don't have a ton of momentum?
I mean, you absolutely have to rest some of the players, especially if you have a risk of them being injured further, because some of the guys you won't have available for the game against the Philadelphia Eagles. And you would love for this team to hit a hot streak. You would love for this team to get some chemistry offensively. But can you truly do that if you don't have your best blindside protector? Can you truly do that if you're missing players on each side of the ball? And so the one thing about the NFL is people are treated the same. People are treated fairly, but not everyone is treated the same. There are some players that are more valuable to your playoff success. What you're hoping is that these guys can be available next week, be available and be healthy and be 100%. And you want to protect some of the players that you need going into the game. The Dak Prescotts, the Ezekiel Elliotts, the Jayron Kersers on defense who've dealt with shoulder injuries. And so I think it would be smart that if you're your stars, you protect them going into the next week, because you have to hit the ground rolling.
And Nink, let me close out with you. How would you approach tomorrow night's game?
I would play. I would try and get some consistency going. I'd try and have something as momentum moving forward into the playoffs would help you. Because if you look at the last 6 weeks, their sample size of playing football, they have been up and down. They've been inconsistent. And football is a model of consistency. The better consistent teams have a better shot at playing longer into the playoffs. So I think I would have them out there. I would try and get something moving here towards the playoffs, where they could roll into the playoffs with some type of momentum.
The good news is against their division, they score over 30 points per game. That's compared to 23 points per game against everybody else. Eagles also dealing with COVID issues. So this could look a little bit like a preseason game tomorrow night. Coming up here on Get Up, Another week, more drama around Aaron Rodgers. This time he didn't start it, but Aaron's response has people talking. Was he right or wrong to even react? We will discuss. And can Mac Jones become the first rookie quarterback to win a playoff game since 2012? And could he possibly lead the Pats to a Super Bowl? Nink, I know what you're going to say. Do I?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Hey, we are back in Get Up. Kel Duncan hanging in for Greeny. We're going to play a little game of NFL Week 18. Take your pick. Steelers and Ravens meet Sunday, both with very slim playoff hopes. But RC, take your pick. Who wins?
I'm picking the Steelers. I mean, last time we did this and I got to pick the Steelers over the Cleveland Browns, no one from this show even asked me who I was picking. But I said, you know what? You can never underestimate the heart of a champion. This is going to be another win for Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin. They won't make the playoffs, but they'll finish the season strong.
Ugh, RC, go Steelers. Right on brand. I see you. Ninko, assuming the Colts can clinch a spot, I want you to take your pick, Chargers or Raiders, for the final AFC playoff spot.
Oh, this one's tough, but I'm going with the Raiders. I was going to go with the Chargers, but I don't have any confidence in their defense. So I like the Raiders. I feel like Carr can get it done. And I like the defensive end.
Bosa?
Crosby.
Max Crosby.
Oh, Max Crosby.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Yes. And Graz, finally, Niners or Saints for that final spot in the NFC.
I'm going to take the Niners. I could name a few of their players if Rob needs me to, but I'm going to just say, look, they've owned the Rams in recent years. They need this game a little bit more than L.A. does. I think they'll figure it out with the run game and get it done and make the playoffs.
All right, let's turn to a team that has already clinched a playoff spot. That would be the Patriots. And after 2 straight losses that essentially ended their hopes of a division title, the Pats put up 50 on the Jags last week. Just kick a man while he's down to end their one-year playoff drought. 1 year. That's it. That's not a drought. New England, currently the 5th seed, Bills ahead of them as they have the better division record. According to our Football Power Index, the Patriots only have a 5% chance to win the AFC East. But I'm sure Mike Reese would tell you, Bill Belichick's not really concerned with division titles. He joins us now here on Get Up. What is the Patriots' mindset as they enter the playoffs, Mike?
Well, good morning, Elle. You know, you won't be surprised to learn that with Bill Belichick, they're taking a day-to-day approach, but they're also thinking big. Start with the day-to-day. They finish up in Miami, their season finale, and that's really all they're talking about this week. At practice, they actually played the song Miami by Will Smith, which a highly placed source tells me was one of Ninkovich's favorite back in his playing days. But Elle, in the big picture, Bill Belichick did allow this. He said there's a long way to go. And he said, we're going to keep grinding it out and we'll see where that takes us. And I would say from covering this team, anything less than a Super Bowl championship is the expectation in New England.
Oh, I hate that song because now every time I go to Florida, I say, bienvenido a Miami. You could say welcome as well, right? Mac Jones in his first playoffs. I mean, what are the expectations on that side?
Well, so Mac has a saying that he always says to us, L, over the course of this past season. He says he wants to be where his feet are, and that's his way of actually not getting caught up in the expectations. But I took note of something that veteran linebacker Kyle Van Noy said this week. He said a lot of people probably thought we wouldn't be in the playoffs with a rookie quarterback, but Van Noy said, we have our own expectations in our own house, and we hold everyone to a high standard. They have a lot of confidence in Mac, and I'll tell you why. Hunter Henry said anytime he's had a bad performance, the way he's bounced back has been tremendous. And that's why a lot of the players look at Mac as not really a rookie entering the playoffs, but as a sort of a seasoned player after everything he's gone through this season.
I'm going to overuse this cliche, but he's just shown so much poise, playing within himself, not doing anything to give the game away, even if he's not doing anything to win it. Mike Reese, our Patriots reporter, joining us ahead of the Patriots' march to the playoffs. Let's go there. The Bills, right, we were talking about the division, clinch the AFC East. If they just beat the Jets, or if the Patriots lose to the Dolphins, but if Buffalo were to lose to the Jets and the Patriots were to beat Miami, the division would be New England. So let's stay right there as we bring everybody back in. AFC East, still yet to be decided. We just showed what would have to happen. I want you to look bigger picture, though, and I want to start there with RC. Who do you trust more in the playoffs, the Bills or the Patriots?
You know what? It's the Buffalo Bills, and it's ever since, you know, Josh Allen went to you only die once football as well. Like, he's making sure that he's running this team with his legs. If you look at the second half of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game, and now that opens up things for Singletary. You have new guys showing up, and guys like Gabriel Davis, who have now taken over the number two spot from Cole Beasley, and a defense that figured out ways to play the same defensively, play at the same level without Pro Bowl caliber corner Tre'Davious White. And so going into the playoffs, I'm going to trust the team with the proven quarterback, the team that could depend on a superstar, and that's the Buffalo Bills.
All right, Graz, who you got? Bills or Patriots? Who do you trust more for the playoffs?
I'm going to take the Bills. That word trust almost tripped me up because I feel like I trust the Patriots to play like a mistake-free game, but I trust the Bills to be able to operate at a higher level, and I think that's what you need to do to win in the playoffs. The other thing, as crazy as this sounds, this current Buffalo Bills team has more playoff experience than the current Patriots team because they've been in the playoffs the last 3 years. So think about that. Did you think you'd live long enough to say something like that?
I didn't think I'd ever live long enough to see a former Patriot ever choose or pick against his team. So I'm excited to see what Ninko's going here. Do you trust the Bills or the Patriots?
Well, I'm with Dan on this one as far as I trust the Patriots to be coached well and play mistake-free football. But the one thing the Patriots have an issue with, and that's scoring quickly. And in the playoffs, sometimes you have to score fast. I trust the Buffalo Bills to be able to march down the field and score quicker because they have a more experienced quarterback. I have a little bit more confidence in Allen than I do with the rookie quarterback. So I go with the Bills in this particular instance.
Look at that. I'll be the contrarian. I'm going to go with the Patriots just specifically because this looks like it could be the first round match.
Yeah,
I know
new.
It's not me. Bills, Patriots. The Patriots are actually a lot better on the road than they are at home. And so I'm going to go with the Patriots on this one, right? 6-1 on the road. And the Bills have played some of their worst games in Buffalo. So we'll certainly see. Coming up here on Get Up, Baker Mayfield going scorched earth on the latest reporting about his future in Cleveland. Could he want out? We're going to talk about that next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's an SEC battle for the ages. Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide going for their 7th national championship in 13 years. The Georgia Bulldogs looking to win their first title since 1980. Who will make history? We have it covered from top to bottom. Tuesday morning right here on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN.
if I may, go Dawgs. Time for your wake-up call. RJ Barrett calls game and Brian Anderson of TNT with the call. Listen in.
Finds Barrett. Get a shot up. This is for the win. Oh! It's good! Off the window! RJ Barrett wins it for the Knicks!
The Knicks overcome a 25-point deficit to the sheer delight of MSG. What a game. Celtics just keep doing this. Our NBA Friday doubleheader tips off in Brooklyn with KD and the Nets hosting Giannis and the Bucks at 7:30 Eastern, followed by Trae Young and those Hawks taking on LeBron and the Lakers. Remember that both games are on ESPN and the app, one tap. All right, Dan Graziano, you're on deck. We're going to run the hurry up. I'm going to start with the latest on Derrick Henry's return. What can you tell us?
Yeah, Derrick Henry's been back at practice for the Titans this week. Look, I think the way they're approaching this week's game is let's see how he does during the week and then make a decision toward the end of it. My sense is they'd love to be able to win this game without him, get the number one seed, and then give him another 2 weeks rest before their first playoff game. But they haven't fully ruled out him playing this week. 49ers need to figure out who's going to play quarterback for them this week in a game they need to win to make the playoffs. Jimmy Garoppolo missed last week's game with a thumb injury, has been able to practice, and my understanding is they've been pleased with what they've seen from him throwing in practice. If he has another good day today, he's likely to start. If they don't feel like he can grip the ball and throw it, they would go with rookie Trey Lance again. But Jimmy G, the starter, if healthy, Kyle Shanahan has been consistently clear on that. And the Packers could be getting a very important reinforcement just in time. Left tackle David Bakhtiari has missed the entire season, but he has been able to practice this week. And there is a chance the Packers could throw him into Sunday's game just to get him some on-field action before they head to their bye, and then the playoffs that await after that. Could be a big pickup for Green Bay. They're starting left tackle, their all-pro left tackle, just in time for the postseason.
And if it's true that Aaron Rodgers says he wants to play and is going to play, certainly going to be a big upgrade for him at center. Speaking of which, we'd love to see him happy because he hasn't been. You'll remember this week, we've heard a lot about Hub Arkush, right? He is the MVP voter who said he would not vote for Aaron Rodgers because he is a, quote, bad guy. You knew Aaron Rodgers wasn't just going to let that slide.
I think he's a bum. I think he's an absolute bum. He doesn't know me. I don't know who he is. No one knew who he was probably until yesterday's comments. But I mean, I listened to the comments, but to say he had his mind made up in the summertime, in the off season, that, you know, I had zero chance of winning MVP, in my opinion, should exclude future votes. You know, his problem isn't with me being a bad guy or the biggest jerk in the league. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know me. He doesn't know anything about me. I mean, I've never met him. His problem is I'm not vaccinated. You know, so if he wants to go on a crusade and collude and come up with an extra letter to put on the award just for this season and make it the most valuable vaccinated player, then he should do that. But he's a bum, and I'm not going to waste any time worrying about that stuff.
We're going to waste a little time worrying about that stuff because you just went on a tirade. He begins and ends with, he's a bum, says he should be excluded from future voting. I don't know, Nick, I'll start there with you. What do you make of this situation with Rodgers and the comments about the MVP voter?
Well, it's not the most valuable person. It's the most valuable player. So Aaron Rodgers is the most valuable player. He obviously has had a terrific season, and I don't agree with this voter saying that he wouldn't vote for him based on other things other than football, because that's what you're supposed to judge him on, is who is the best player on the field, nothing to do with anything else. And for him to come out and say we're not allowed to vote, we're not able to tell people who we're voting for, and I'm probably going beyond where I should go here and say I just know I'm not voting for Aaron Rodgers, I think that that was wrong and not appropriate.
You know, we've heard from a lot of players, from a lot of reporters, from a lot of people on Twitter. I want to bring in Mike Tannenbaum here, just from your front office experience. I mean, how do you feel about this situation, how it's played out?
Well, I don't think it's good on either side. First of all, on Hub Arkush's side, he has a vote. If he thinks he's a jerk and doesn't want to vote for him for the MVP, go cast your ballot silently and not publicly. I thought that was disappointing and inappropriate. But also on the other side, Aaron Rodgers, you're a battlefield commander. You're an all-time great. Like, you're saying let's not waste time on it, and then you waste 2 minutes on it. So if I'm him, like, he shouldn't care what Hub Arkush thinks of him. Just go win a championship. That'll silence everybody, vaccinated or unvaccinated. Let your play do the talking. So I felt like what the reporter did was wrong. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I just lowered myself to his level.
So, Mikey, to your approach is the sort of the lion doesn't concern himself with the lamb type of approach. I want to bring you in here, Dan, because we've heard a lot of people, and I've said it as well, right, that it is. We just heard Nick say it. It's most valuable player, not most liked player. It's not the right. Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. But you seem to think it's a little bit more nuanced and not so black and white.
I think it could be, right? I think Arkush did his whole discussion a disservice by resorting to name-calling and not articulating what could have been a decent point. I think if you're an MVP voter, right, and you have a close race between, let's say, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and as a tiebreaker, you want to say, well, he's an NFL quarterback, so other things do matter. And the way he conducted himself this offseason was not healthy for the team. Choosing not to get vaccinated put the team at greater risk of trouble. You could convince yourself that that was a tiebreaker. That's not the point he made. I don't know if it was the point he's trying to make because he made a mess of his point. It's not something that I would necessarily apply to this situation if it were me. But I think there's a discussion to be had about when you talk about value, about, you know, other things a quarterback brings to the table besides what is happening on the field. I agree with Mike that Rodgers shouldn't lower himself to this discussion. I think he's the one who's on the crusade with when it comes to vaccines, not the voters. But I think in this particular case, I think there could have been an interesting discussion if we hadn't just descended into name-calling and finger-pointing and everybody go to their corners.
Yeah, to play devil's advocate here, Hub Arkush never said specifically because he was not vaccinated or that he lied or misled right. about his vaccination. It's not why he should get it. He just called him a bad guy. Some people inferred that maybe that meant
right.
the whole
bot,
right?
That part
everything
up.
Exactly. Everything that we've been dealing with Aaron right. Rodgers over the last year now. And he has since apologized. I'll add that as well. From one quarterback going scorched earth to another, the Browns and Baker Mayfield may be on a collision course this offseason. A report from Cleveland.com claims that Mayfield and coach Kevin Stefanski have to hash out their differences if they're going to coexist for another season. Here's the excerpt from Mary Kay Cabot's article. It says, quote, Mayfield's issues with Stefanski bubbled below the surface most of the season, with Mayfield feeling like Stefanski's play calling didn't always put him in position to succeed or play to his strengths. She later added, quote, if Mayfield doesn't get reassurances that things will change next season, he'll consider asking to be traded. Again, that was on Cleveland.com. Baker never won to just sit on it. Tweeted this yesterday, clickbait. You and many other Cleveland local media continue to be drama-stirring reporters with no sources or facts. Don't put words in my mouth so you can put food on your table. I am not your puppet. Everybody is so spicy. What happened to all the good cheer and goodwill
right,
in the
right?
new year, right? Oh, man. I'm going to start there with you. Graz, what do you think that the Browns should do with Baker Mayfield?
Look, I mean, I think they have to consider all their options, Elle. I mean, they're on the hook for almost $19 million in fully guaranteed money next year because of the fifth-year option. So, if they decide to move on from Baker Mayfield, they're going to have to find a taker for that, or at least a significant part of it. That's tricky. And then who else can you get, right? Not everybody's going to be able to get Aaron Rodgers if he's even available, Russell Wilson if he's even available, Deshaun Watson. You know, you could be looking at lesser options than that, and Baker Mayfield could end up being part of that discussion. So my understanding is, look, they're going to get to the end of the season, which is, you know, 3 days from now, and start debating things and making some decisions. Right now, Baker Mayfield's not even healthy for them, healthy enough for them to make a decision about him.
Ninko, if you're the Browns, are you acquiescing to Baker Mayfield based on his body of work in Cleveland?
Well, I almost fell out of my chair when Dan said $19 million next year. That is ridiculous to pay somebody that much money to be terrible. Listen, if he was a third-round draft pick, he would not be the starting quarterback. He might not even be the backup quarterback if he wasn't the number one overall pick. So him being the highest draft pick or a high first-round draft pick is the reason why he's the starting quarterback and the reason why they're making sure that he is the guy that they push out there for the first starting group. Next year, the Cleveland Browns, with what their roster is and the talent that they have, if they go out and they get a middle-of-the-road quarterback, they're probably going to be a playoff team. So I think they move on from Baker, but I don't know if they can move on from $19 million that they owe him, because if I'm another team, I'm not paying him $19 million.
Mike, I want to bring you in here because, listen, anybody that knows anything about sports or the Browns or anything, one of the lasting images, right, is that picture from years ago of the guy with the jersey and the Browns quarterbacks and how many there have been. And it felt like finally they found their guy. And now they have concerns. If you're in that front office, based on everything that you've gone through in trying to secure the face of your franchise under center, how would you approach Baker?
I'm moving on from him. It hasn't worked. And if I'm Baker Mayfield, I got to look in the mirror. It didn't work at Texas Tech. To his credit, he went to Oklahoma, became the first pick overall. He does have some ability. That's why he was the first pick. But he is slow and short by NFL standards for a quarterback. And when you think about the Browns and it's Joe Burrow and it's Lamar Jackson in your division, to Nico's point, he's just not good enough. So I would go with Case Keenum. Maybe I could get Kirk Cousins, someone that has a relationship with Kevin Stefanski, but I am moving on. Now, in terms of the $19 million, somebody else will take it because he's still one of the 32 best quarterbacks on the planet. But again, you're the CEO. You're the face of the franchise. I have no idea why you're engaging with a reporter on Twitter. So if I'm them, I'm moving on.
I heard you, Mikey T, sort of float a couple of names, but I want to corner you guys right there. We all agree that the Browns should probably move on from Baker. So, Graz, I'll start with you. Who should be the Browns quarterback next season then?
I like the Cousins idea because of the prior relationship. He and Kevin Stefanski have had some success together. I don't know the state of their personal relationship. I have no reason to believe it's good. I have no reason to believe it's bad. But they have worked together before. There's a major financial stumbling block on Minnesota's end there with Cousins, too, with $40 million cap hit and $35 million fully guaranteed next year. So some stuff would have to be worked out, but in a vacuum, that would make some sense.
Yeah, maybe they would like that. And Ninko, who do you want under center in Cleveland?
I would like to see Derek Carr, a guy like Derek Carr, but I do understand he's under contract for one more year with the Raiders. But a guy like that, like I said before, would put this team into the playoff position that they want to be in.
Maybe like a hot swap, right? Like he goes to Vegas, Baker does, and Derek Carr goes to Cleveland. Okay, Mikey T, who you got? Who do you want under center?
I got to make it really easy. Case Keenum. He's played well for them, knows the system. He's a good NFL quarterback, not great, but they've done a great job of amassing a lot of talent in Cleveland. They can win a lot of games with Case Keenum.
Cuckoo, cuckoo. Are we crazy, you guys? Russell Wilson. Like what? Come on. Like he's as many ready-made as they go. There's still tons of questions, right, surrounding Derek Carr and everybody. Kirk Cousins has never been able to prove to win the big game when it counts. And it's no offense to any of them, but Russell Wilson still's got plenty in the tank. He's obviously got an acrimonious relationship with Seattle, and they are a plug-and-play playoff Super Bowl contender if Russell Wilson is under center. Go there. I'd love for him to be in Denver, but let's just be real. All right, coming up on Get Up, do the Chiefs need to get the number one seed this weekend to get back to the Super Bowl? Will it be an AFC hat trick for Mahomes and company? We'll get into that coming up on Get Up. And will this be Russell Wilson's last start for the Seahawks? We just got into it a little bit, but we'll definitely expound. Wait until you hear what he said about his future. That's next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, we're back on Get Up, and it is time for Overreaction Friday. I bring in Dan Graziano here. I'm going to give Dan a statement. He's going to tell us if it's an overreaction or not. I love these. Okay, Jonathan Taylor can steal the MVP with a big game against the Jags on Sunday.
I think it's an overreaction. I mean, full respect to Jonathan Taylor and the year he's having, but I think the hay is kind of in the barn on this. I think it's mainly a quarterback award, for better or for worse, and I think Rodgers and Brady have both made strong cases. I think Taylor will finish just outside of that range this year.
It is a quarterback award. Last running back to win MVP, Adrian Peterson in 2012. All right, your next one. The Giants need to fire their head coach, Joe Judge.
Turn away, Giants fans, because I'm not in lockstep with you on this. I say it's an overreaction. I don't believe in just firing coaches every 2 years, and I don't think the Giants believe in that either. They'd love for this guy to be a success. They'd love to give him another year. The roster was bad. It fell apart due to injuries. I say give Joe Judge another year to show what he can do.
Okay, so Dan doesn't want to be judge, jury, and executioner. Heyo, Chiefs need the number one seed and a bye to reach their third straight Super Bowl.
I don't think this is an overreaction at all. The Chiefs have had the bye each of the last 3 years. Of the last 2 years, they made the Super Bowl. It is a lot more difficult to win three NFL playoff games than it is to win two. I think that loss to the Bengals could end up being very, very damaging, and that if the Chiefs don't get that bye, they're going to have to scrap it out with a lot of other teams that they felt like they might have had the edge on. I don't think it's an overreaction at all. I think it makes their road a lot tougher.
Speaking of which, I feel like someone at this point is probably texting Greeny, like, can you come back? Because Elle's levying these dad jokes and they're so bad. And that's fine. I'm here for all of that. I'll take it. According to Caesar's Sportsbook, I'm good for that. Green Bay, the favorite to win it all. Kansas City just behind them. The only other teams with shorter than 10-1 odds are Tampa Bay, Buffalo, and Los Angeles. All right, is that the Chargers or the Rams? I'm guessing it's the Rams, right? We got to be specific. Okay, so I'm going to bring you guys back in. Are you buying Chiefs as the AFC's Super Bowl favorites? And I'll start with you, Nico.
I am buying them. I am buying the Chiefs. I think that the amount of talent that they have, Patrick Mahomes, when he gets hot, if that team gets hot, their defense is playing a lot better, they are unstoppable. So I'm going to go with the talent that they have over what they've done, you know, the last couple weeks. I know they just lost to Cincinnati, but when I look at that roster in general, if they turn it on, they're hard to beat.
Mikey T, who do you think is going to be repping for the AFC in the Super Bowl?
I'm going with the Chiefs as well, and I know this is hard to say, talking about the Chiefs' defense. They just gave up 4,000 points to Joe Burrow, but they got a couple of good young linebackers in Nick Bolton, Willie Gay, guys that could run. So it's razor thin for me that I'm going to take Kansas City over when Derrick Henry comes out, because I think Tennessee will be right there. They'll probably have the one seed. But because of this improved defense, despite what we saw last week, I think the Chiefs are the most complete team in the AFC.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, listen, it was sort of an embarrassing effort against the Bengals. But before that, the Chiefs defense really is the reason that they were keeping this thing afloat while the offense was trying to sort things out. I'm landing at you, Graz. Who do you think is going to rep the AFC in the Super Bowl?
I'm going to go with Tennessee. I'm going to assume they beat Houston this week, clinch that number one seed. Derrick Henry comes back refreshed and ready to go. I think that bye week matters. We are in an age now where you only get one per conference, and I think the advantage is significant. And I also think Tennessee and what they've done this year being a little bit underrated. They're a lot better on defense than they were last year, and the offense has functioned very well without Derrick Henry. Getting him back will only make them even more elite.
I've sort of prided myself on being the contrarian here on Get Up quite a bit, but I'm going to go with Grazman here too. I think it's the Titans as well for all of the aforementioned reasons, and also because it just feels like the last couple of years, right, with Vrabel there, they're just right there, and there's been a failure to launch in the playoffs. This feels like their time and potentially their moment, and I think also the AFC has a ton of parity, in particular with the Chiefs being a little bit beatable now. All right, our DraftKings poll question of the week, gentlemen. Will Patrick Mahomes throw three or more touchdown passes against the Broncos on Sunday? We're playing for literally nothing. DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And this Sunday, only new players can play free for over $1 million in total prizes when you make your first deposit. So download the DraftKings app and sign up with the code GETUP. All right, speaking of which, we've got a really special Saturday, Week 18 NFL doubleheader. Chiefs have to win to have a chance at the number one seed in the AFC. They'll face those Broncos at 4:15 Eastern. Cowboys battling the Eagles at 8 Eastern. What a division rivalry game to close out the season. Both games on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Plus, and ESPN Deportes. And remember that a special edition of NFL Countdown is coming your way at 3 Eastern as well. All right, still ahead. More on Antonio Brown and his drama. It's taking another turn. What actually happened that caused him to storm off, and is his career over?